decree, I call the shots. I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be owned, manipulated or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. Self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable, fierce and invincible. Watch me shine, I'm taking fire. Hey man, watch.
Amen, listen up, this is my decree. I call the shots, I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be home, manipulated or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. I do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around. Break me free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable. Do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around. You break me free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart
Knight Rider Up to Truckee. An original story from Appaloosa Radio, Chapter 1, Bicycle Guy. It was unbearably hot. The Sacramento Valley gets that way in August. Add the smog and the smoke from the all-too-frequent brush fires, and you have a hellish place that is literally unlivable. Still, it is where California has its state capital. And if you are an attorney defending various state agencies from the all-too-frequent lawsuits, it is where you must live. It is where I lived. I was such an attorney. Almost every morning, I regretted having spent the $40,000 to get my law degree. I had wanted to be a new Perry Mason. Instead, I spent my days in the courts, arguing, correctly, that it was not the state's fault that electric energy prices were so high. There had been hearings ad nauseum about the rates that the private companies could charge. Months and months and months of hearings. Public input on the previous public input. Anyone could get their 3 minutes at the open microphone to present their opinions. It is a tedious and woeful process. Still, no sooner had the rates been published, no sooner had the various tables become law, the lawsuits began. Not just one or two or even three. No, hundreds of lawsuits. Most often it was the same groups, filing over and over, just changing the name of the plaintiffs on the filing papers. It was a game they played. They knew that they would lose 98% of the cases. But sometimes a judge would rule in their favor, and then an existing rate table might be thrown out, and the state would have to develop another. That's what they wanted. They would begin negotiations for a new rate table that gave their particular industry the benefits of lower electric rates. I was the attorney who had to go into court and defend the state. The cases were so similar, I could quote them from memory without even having to read through them. I often felt like screaming, "This is all a sham." We had argued the exact same case last week, and the week before that, and the week before that. The state's processes for setting electric rates are procedurally biased. Meeting locations and/or times were not appropriately identified and publicized. Hearing officers did not allow plaintiffs sufficient time to fully present relevant evidence. I was not Perry Mason. I am, like him, by profession, a lawyer. However, I do not defend beautiful blondes wrongly accused of murder. No, I defend the state against frivolous lawsuits, shams, and falsehoods filed only to lower a company's air conditioning costs. They are vultures looking for carrion, for bones to pick apart. Yes, I have a bad attitude. To make matters worse, it was nearly 3 o'clock on a miserably hot Friday afternoon, and I was waiting at the eastern end of the light rail line for the very late bus from Auburn to arrive. The state now requires its attorneys to use the light rail train system for our court appointments. They say it is to reduce air pollution and to protect the environment. However, we all know that it is really to save costs. A monthly light rail pass costs $40. Downtown parking is at least $15 a day. I'm in court 20 days a month. That's $300 for parking. So, light rail is much cheaper. The only good thing about riding the light rail is the state allows us to ship our documents to the courthouse by interoffice courier. We call it the mule. We have a special storeroom where we can keep them, so at least I do not have to wheel a dolly full of documents onto and off the light rail train. I've seen attorneys for other clients who have had to do so. As I said, it was a hot Friday afternoon. I had been allowed to leave early because the judge in my current case decided to call a 3-day recess. I had left the office at 1:30, hopped light rail to the last station, and then waited for the bus that was headed up to Auburn. Unfortunately, the bus was late, more than an hour late. The bus stop had a metal bench, but no overhead shade. I was still in my dark business suit, sweaty, and more than miserable. Every 12 minutes, a new light rail train would arrive from the downtown, disgorging its many passengers. It was not long before I had several companions also waiting in the hot sun for the very late eastbound bus. There was a young woman who was obviously a student at the state university. Unlike those of us now working for a living, she could wear shorts and flip-flop sandals. There was a middle-aged woman wearing medical scrubs. I assumed that she either worked in a hospital or in a doctor's office. She was obviously distressed because the bus was so late. "Probably has to pick up some kids at daycare," I surmised. Then there was a heavy-set male commuter wearing a dark blue Hawaiian shirt. I soon learned that he had appointed himself as the official spokesperson for the bus company. "Probably caught in heavy traffic because of some kind of accident," he mused. "The bus can't fly, you know. Always gets pretty gnarly up at the merge. Bus just stuck in traffic. Not the driver's fault. Thank you, Mr. Hawaiian Shirt. Glad that you can fully explain what you don't know," I thought. "None of us know anything. All we know is that the bus is late and we're really hot." I had been waiting in the hot August sun for over an hour when the 3:12 train arrived, and its passengers spilled out. One of the last to emerge was Bicycle Guy. That's what I called him. It would only be much later that I would know his name. Bicycle Guy pulled his bike, three knapsacks, and his guitar off the train and began to amble toward us. He was smoking a cigar. His aroma reached us before he did. When he came to the only tree in the otherwise desolate transportation hub, he leaned his bike against it, dumped his knapsacks on the ground, and then gently placed his guitar within the slim patch of the tree's shade. With his guitar carefully placed, he turned to those of us who were impatiently waiting and asked, "Is this where the bus from Auburn comes?" Mr. Hawaiian Shirt moved over to next to him and began his self-appointed role as the welcoming committee. "The Placer bus usually leaves at 5 minutes past the hour, but today things seem late. We'll probably have to wait for the next one." Bicycle Guy takes a puff on his cigar and amplifies on Hawaiian Shirt's unofficial welcome. "Well, you know what we'll do if the bus doesn't come." Hawaiian Shirt looked puzzled. No one else was supposed to have such privileged information. "No. What?" Bicycle Guy is clearly enjoying the shift in power. It had happened so effortlessly. He drew deeply on his cigar and grins. "We'll wait." Hawaiian Shirt was really perspiring in the late afternoon heat. "Yeah, we'll wait. I am not happy about the delay. Not that I had anything special planned. I just wanted to be home." I looked more closely at the Bicycle Guy. He was tall with a paunch, sported a very weather-beaten tan, and was wearing clothes much too warm for the last Friday in August. His baseball-style hat advertised a paving contractor that I had never heard of. His beard and hair hadn't been cut in weeks. Still, underneath the scruff, I recognized what was clearly a handsome man, a man who naturally brought attention to himself. It was apparent that Bicycle Guy liked to talk, and none of us could go anywhere. He addressed Mr. Hawaiian Shirt, but it was clear that he was performing for all of us. I made sure that my wallet was deep in my front inside pocket, making it all the more difficult to pull out. Bicycle Guy began. "I'm riding up to Truckee. Some of my old friends are performing in a club up there. I'm hoping to do some riffs with them." Mr. Hawaiian Shirt was back in control. He had information that the Bicycle Guy did not. "There's no way that you can ride your bike up to Truckee. It is over 7,000 feet and the only road in Interstate 80. No bicycles allowed." Bicycle Guy draws deeply on his cigar. "I can't stand the smoke, but I have been pulled into the drama. In May, I rode over the Rocky Mountains, all the way from Boulder, Colorado to Salt Lake City. I did it in just 4 days. Once I get started, I just keep going." Mr. Hawaiian Shirt was not impressed. "There is only one way up to Truckee, on the freeway. Lots of trucks, semis." Bicycle Guy draws another lung full of tobacco smoke. "There is another road. The old road goes alongside the freeway. I took it down last spring. Only had to ride on the freeway for a few miles. They had all those orange barrels set up for construction. I just rode over there." Mr. Hawaiian Shirt cannot let anyone else win the debate, even if there really was no debate. "Well, you should know that they raised the fare. It now costs $1.25 each way for the trip up to Auburn." Bicycle Guy smiles. "Well, worth the money. A whole lot easier than riding." Everyone stood around, more or less silently, for another 20 minutes until our very late bus finally arrived. Bicycle Guy loaded his bike onto the front rack, put his fare into the fare box, and grabbed a seat in the middle of the bus. As the driver roared away, attempting to make up for lost time by not stopping at stop signs or red lights, Bicycle Guy and Mr. Hawaiian Shirt continued their conversation. Bicycle Guy shares, "I'm going to ride all night. I think I'll be in Truckee about dawn, maybe a little later." Mr. Hawaiian Shirt is incredulous. "You're going to ride at night? Maybe you should camp out until it gets light." "I like riding at night. It really focuses my energy. When I rode over the Rockies last spring, I did an overnighter. Better to keep going. Don't ever stop." Mr. Hawaiian Shirt is clearly irritated. Just trying to be helpful. Do whatever you are going to do. Smiling knowingly, Bicycle Guy speaks with quiet determination. I always do only what I want to. The conversation ended altogether when Mr. Hawaiian Shirt got off the bus at the mall. I stayed on for two more stops. As I disembarked, I found myself mumbling about the inept bus system. Later, during the evening at my own house, the Bicycle Guy's words stayed with me. I always do only what I want. I always do only what I want. Nice idea, but won't work in reality. Most of us never do only what we want. The Bicycle Guy responds with quiet determination. I always do only what I want to. It had been a miserable afternoon waiting in the heat for a bus that came almost 2 hours late. I was just glad to finally be in my own house. Then, later in the evening, the Bicycle Guy's words came back to me. I always do only what I want. I always do only what I want. Nice idea. But won't work in reality. Most of us never get to do only what we want. But I do, his voice replied as if it were a voice from the dead.
Listen up, this is my decree. I call the shots. I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be owned, manipulated, or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. I do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around. You break me free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable, fierce and invincible.
Listen up, this is my decree. I call the shots, I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be home, manipulated, or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. I do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable.
do what